Is someone's lack of accountability costing your time and career? How long will you keep covering for them? You mind if I share a short story with you? I once worked on a major customer initiative where a colleague, let's just call him Fred. See, Fred was responsible for providing weekly status updates to our critical for our critical stakeholder meetings. These updates were very essential. See, what it did is it drove the decisions on the budgeting, the timelines, and of course, the approvals. Every time Fred missed a deadline, I'll race around to gather all the project data, compile his updates, and present them as if they were his. The stakeholders never knew he was falling behind because I was doing all of the heavy lifting. Now, let me park here parenthetically. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm trying to impress upon you that it was just this one particular high-stakes meeting where Fred just didn't show up completely unprepared. He shifted the blame onto me, claiming I hadn't reminded him of his key deliverables. To my surprise, some of our stakeholders actually believed him. That's when it hit me. I had covered for him so consistently that no one saw he wasn't fulfilling his role. This wasn't about fulfilling a gap or being a team player anymore. This was about accountability, by always stepping in, never holding Fred accountable to the standards he held me at. I opened the door to be taken advantage of. That's when the realization hit me, and which leads us to our first key point. Stop showing up for team members who won't take accountability. Point number one. When certain individuals consistently refuse to take on their own task or roles, overcompensating for them can create a dependency loop. By stepping back, you send a clear message that accountability is non-negotiable as part of this team dynamics. Why is this important? Carrying someone else's responsibility not only drains your energy, but it undermines the team performance standards. Your leadership stands out more when you empower others to meet expectations set for them. Experiment with these actionable tips. Set boundaries. Communicate politely, professionally, but firmly when someone tries to push tasks onto you that are not yours. Now, I want to be clear because it's going to lead us into our second point. I'm about the team. I'm about stepping in and fulfilling the gaps if someone is out. I'm about being a servant leader. But there's a difference between, well, watch this, when we're all going to get used, but being misused, there's a difference between the two. See, when you misuse me, you take advantage of my time. When you misuse me, you take advantage of our relationship. And so the whole point I'm trying to make here is that it's all about collaborating. But the only way you can collaborate if you have someone that is meeting you where you're at and you're going together. And the last actionable tip I'd love for you to experiment with: escalate strategically. If not, accountability persists, involve higher management or get HR involved to address the issue formally. Point number two, break the "that's not my job" mindset. Now, I know what you're probably thinking. This is why I was trying to be so crystal clear in the beginning of this episode, is that it's important that we don't take on so much where the person that's responsible for it doesn't do their part. But we also have to keep in mind as well that we can't use a motto or a mantra that, oh, that's not my job. Now, in project management, let's be clear. Responsibilities can blur. Unexpected tasks often surface when you default to, hey, that's just not my job. You miss an opportunity to learn, support your team, and move the project forward. Why is this important? A willingness to adapt. Set aside your defined role signals leadership, cooperation, and proactive problem solving. This mindset fosters team cohesiveness and often leads to projects being completed more efficiently and effectively. Experiment with some of these actionable tips. Assess impact, not just role. By saying this is not my job, consider whether your help can significantly benefit the project or team, even if it's outside of your official scope. Number two, offer to collaborate. See, this is key, family. We're talking about not being taken advantage of. We're talking about not being misused. We're talking about jumping in and helping out to collaborate, to provide value. But also, we have to understand we need to be able to collaborate with resources. So if the task is truly beyond your expertise, connect with the right people instead of dismissing it. Show that you're investing in the overall success of the project. And the last and final actionable tip I'd love for you to experiment with, communicate your intentions. Clearly communicate with stakeholders and your manager when stepping outside your defined role to avoid any misunderstandings. Point number three, recognize your unique value. Again, recognize your unique value. Emphasizing what you do best allows you to contribute original insights and excel in your project. Your unique blend of experiences and perspective can shape outcomes in ways others can't replicate. Why is this important? When you shrink yourself to blend in, you underutilize your distinctive strengths. A team, an organization, they benefit most when a team member brings their A game and stands out in their specific areas of expertise. Experiment with some of these actionable tips. Skill inventory. List your top three strengths of notable achievements. Keep them visible to remind yourself of the value you bring. I did an episode earlier this week where I talked about the reminder corner. If you haven't checked that out, it's a classic episode. I hope you do. But the reminder corner is similar to this actionable tip that I'm asking you to experiment with. You need to keep a notable of achievement. This is not to brag. This is not to show off to other people. This is to show off to yourself to say, hey, I bring value to this project. Next one, strategic volunteering. Volunteer for tasks that align with these strengths for maximum impact. And then, of course, the 360 feedback. Ask peers, ask mentors, how they perceive your unique contributions to gain insights and reframe your self-awareness. Point number four, break down inefficiencies. Sometimes there are longstanding procedures or norms that no one questions. Challenging these assumptions can reveal inefficiencies and open up new possibilities. Why is this important? Questioning entrenched processes shows you're willing to lead change rather than merely follow tradition. This boldness can dramatically improve project speed, cost effectiveness, as well as project and stakeholder satisfaction. Food for thought. You got the dishes on this one, though. Now, if you question, not complain, because there's a difference. You know, you got these people that'll point out something and they're really complaining and not really questioning to actually find a solution. They just want to point out the problem and want to walk away. But if you point it out, be prepared to step in and actually be the person to help improve it and collaborate with people to improve the inefficiency. Just don't point it out and not be willing to volunteer your time, to volunteer your efforts, so it can provide value to the entire organization, not just to yourself. Experiment with some of these actionable tips. Identify the untouchables, as we say. Ask the team, what processes are we afraid to change or even question? Number two, pilot new methods. Instead of scrapping the old process together, test and revise approach on a small scale. This is very important if you decide to experiment with this. And the last one, what doesn't get measured, no one understands if it's valuable. What do you mean by that? Measure impact. Collect data on improvement, times, whether it's time saved, cost reduced, better morale within the team, so you can justify a broader rollout. I'm not saying attacking inefficiency and then you just change everything right away. No. We want to take this as in small incremental steps. Number five, embrace accountability. Own a responsibility, even when things go wrong, sets the standards, not only for you, but also for your team, because now they step into a place of ownership. Why is this important? Avoiding accountability can lead to repeated mistakes, fostering blame shifting, and transparent ownership paves the way for consistent improvement. Experiment with some of these actionable tips. Open retrospective. Regularly discuss your wins, your failures, so we can create a blameless environment. And the next one, follow up on goals. Set a personal goal. Like, for example, respond to open items within 48 hours. And this is going to allow you to model accountability, which hopefully will rub off on the team. Point number six, own your decision. Boldly own your decision isn't about making choices. It's about stepping into your power as a leader. When you demonstrate decisiveness and accountability, you send a powerful signal. You're ready to lead. You're ready to navigate any challenge, and you're willing to take full responsibility for the outcomes, no matter what? Why is this important? Indecision actually kills momentum and it breeds uncertainty. Each moment spent second guessing is a moment lost to hesitation. Owning your decisions, not your choices, but your decisions, accelerate progress, but also deepens trust, builds unshakable credibility, and positions you as a courageous, confident leader on your team that they know that they can rely on. Experiment with some of these actionable tips. Powerfully document your decisions. Why we want to do that? Because we briefly want to have clear documentation on the significant decisions made. These records gives you an opportunity to see the visibility, and it silenced the doubt that may be inside of you internally. See, a lot of people don't want to make a decision because of the internal fight that they're having. Oh, this is about to get good. I hope you stay and pay attention, because it's not the external things that is happening that is causing us to be indecisive. It's the internal conversations that we're having. This wasn't even in today's episode, but it just came out because I understand that we make a lot of choices in life and we rarely make decisions because of those internal disagreements or those internal one-on-ones that we have with ourselves. So documenting this allows you to silence those doubts because you have a reference point to go back to. And the last and final one, transform outcomes into wisdom. Embrace every decision outcome as a powerful learning moment. Celebrate your wins openly, but approach less favorable results with curiosity and humility. Extract lessons from setbacks to amplify your leadership effectiveness moving forward. Point number 7, encourage radical candor. Again, encourage radical candor. Radical candor involves direct, professional, respectful communication that blends with empathy and honesty. This ensures all critical issues surface early and preventing a bigger problem down the road. Why is this important? The fear of hurting feelings or stepping on toes can lead to a silent team dysfunction. Honestly, timely feedback builds a culture of trust, enabling everyone to stand out by continuously improving. Experiment with some of these actionable tips. Set guidelines. Clearly identify that this is not a personal attack or personal criticism. It's more about a professional courtesy of aimed at improvement. And the next one, model it. Offer straightforward yet respectful feedback to your team, demonstrating how it's done, and be open to receive feedback from your team as well, because don't be the person that is always trying to tell someone what to do, or I should say, being respectful, as you would call it. But then when someone gives you radical candor back, now you're all defensive. But you just sat here and just told me everything I need to do. How is this working here? So be open and willing to be able to take that on. Point number 8, create opportunities from project failures. Instead of shrinking away after setbacks, standout project managers openly acknowledge failures and actively extract lessons that inform future success. This is important, family, because openly addressing failure demonstrates resilience, promotes continuous improvement, and of course, we get an opportunity to build trust. Experiment with these actionable tips. Hold structured lesson learned workshops after setbacks. Number 2, create a culture where honest discussion of failure are encouraged, not penalized, and also document and share specific actions taken as the result of the lessons learned. Well, family, I hope that you take action today. I have 4 points and I'll let you be on your way. Just stop shrinking to fit in. I ask of you, I plead of you, stop shrinking to fit in. Own your unique strengths and perspective. Your voice matters. You are enough, and your leadership depends on your willingness to step up confidently. Own your decisions boldly. Indecision erodes trust, while accountability builds credibility. Remember, great leaders don't avoid tough calls. They embrace it. And the next one, proactively step beyond your comfort zone. Fill critical gaps, but never let your generosity become exploited. Distinguish clearly between assisting and enabling. And the last and final one, the choice is yours. Will you continue to blend in, or will you execute with purpose, accountability, and courage? I close with this. Take action today. Be bold. Stand out. I go by the name of ED. for all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, listen, that just simply means it. Until next time.